in this match.
If it's a war, you can say whatever you want.
I thought it was a cult. I didn't know what was going on.
The Fed did. I think New York did.
One of your executive vice presidents loves that company.
It's the first ever finishing move that's exclusive to a promotion.
Advantage.
It is another and a final Friday edition of Champions Advantage, as we have a little official announcement. So starting not next Tuesday, but the Tuesday after, which the date on that will be July 7th. You're close. July 7th, we will be back to Tuesdays. So there will be no show next week, because Mike finally got his lazy ass back to work.
Yep. It was all my decision.
Yeah, I'm proud of you.
But yes, I am back to work, and as none of them know, but you know, my hours are kind of crazy. They're opposite hours. And so we will be back on Tuesdays where we can get together and make sure we're all well washed on wrestling and up to knowledge.
Yeah, so just to make it clear, there will be no show on Tuesday the 30th, because unless something fucking major happens between now and Sunday when we'd record, there'll be like, I don't know, if some major fucking breaking story happens.
If Vince McMahon dies.
Yeah, we'd put something out, but unless something unforeseen happens, it'll be no show next week on the 30th or the 3rd of July. And then we will be back on the 7th of July, that Tuesday. And then we'll be back on Tuesdays forever.
And we thank you for listening on Fridays.
Yeah.
It was kind of worked out for best for both of us, so and our schedules had to go back to there. But that being said, a lot of news today.
Yeah, we got some interesting stuff to talk about. Most of it, honestly, the two big stories are an extension of last week's stories, because we talked a little bit about the
Speaking Out movement
last week, and we talked a little bit about the WWE positive COVID test. Well, it's gotten much worse than that in the past 7 days, so we'll talk about that. We'll have the war report, like always. We're announcing the winner of the Mean Guy Classic.
Yes, we will. Okay. And a very timely transition into the main event.
And yes, and we will give our thoughts on the last ride in total, now that the whole series is done, and kind of the dead man's career, and what we think the future holds, and if it truly is the end. So, yeah, should be a fun show, like always, so stick around. So, a continuation of the Speaking Out movement. There's been some fallout. Some people have lost their jobs. Some other people have been sent to sensitivity training. So why don't you give the rundown and we'll kind of get into.
So although he might not be the biggest star, I think the biggest platformer, may I say, of this whole thing is Dave Lagana. Dave Lagana falls. Dave Lagana is a really big name in this business, and he shall be no more.
I mean, the rumors are kind of always there.
I've never heard them. To be honest with you, I'm not exactly searching. Wasting my time searching Dave Lagana rape rumors.
Well, obviously, this is all like speculation. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but apparently, that's the reason he got fired from WWE.
Really? How many years ago was that now?
2008.
Yeah, ish. Right.
Yeah, I think right around the time Bruce got fired, maybe a little before, which is 2008. So, and like I said, I don't know if that's true. I'm certainly not accusing him, because I'm not. But the stories that have come out about him are pretty damning.
So he was the general manager and the booker for NWA, correct?
Yeah, he was in a behind the scenes role there.
Yeah, he was in a behind the scenes role there. I didn't mean general manager as in Eric Bischoff or Teddy Long. I meant as in he is the booker. He was the guy you run through, and that's just a big thing, especially for a brand that's trying to get off its heels still.
Especially with COVID, where they haven't been able to even put out shows.
Good on Billy Corgan for taking it on him.
I mean, good on Billy Corgan, but they didn't really have much of a show. Like, you had to.
Yeah, you have to.
You had to.
But, I mean, I understand. You had to. I'm not even sure if he got fired or resigned.
I'm not sure either.
But if I think it might be resigned, you're going to get fired, kind of.
No, definitely. If he resigned, he just resigned because he knew he was going to get fired. He wasn't just doing it out of the fucking goodness of his heart.
So, that's big. And Joey Ryan has been fired from Impact, who's probably the most damning accusations of all this.
Yeah, there's been over 15 accusations. I think we're at 17 different accusations against Joey Ryan. And
well, I mean, I always thought he was a shit of the earth anyway.
It's even more disgusting when you think about that it was happening right in front of us because people were uncomfortable doing the boob plex or the dick flip.
Yeah. And
he was basically...
And he was just using his position of that being his finish to cop a feel.
Yeah.
And that's the most disgusting.
Or get someone to cop a feel of him.
Yes. You know what I mean?
Well, no, because,
But that was bad. Jack Gallagher, who was fired from WWE very quickly. WWE showing they have no tolerance for rape.
Yeah, I'm not saying Jack Gallagher didn't deserve to get fired.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's kind of telling that they let him go immediately, but everyone else are just kind of sitting on their hands and feet.
I think very different situations.
I do too, but...
I mean, I don't think they forgot about the stream thing. I think they're looking into it. I feel like that one requires some homework before you make a final decision.
I don't know. I just think, like, I was kind of on the side where I didn't think the Dream shit was true originally.
Yeah.
Now I'm kind of thinking that original accusation was true, and they kind of made it go away somehow.
Or something else took over it. That doesn't matter. It's not the conversation we're going to have.
It kind of does matter, though, because if... I mean, it's not like they covered up a murder. Like, it's not like they've done shit like this before.
But I think they are looking at the Dream situation. Like I said, I think that requires more homework than, say, Gallagher's or Ryan does. Because there is evidence you have to look at. I mean, it's hell of a lawsuit if he fires him for no reason, right?
Well, they're independent contractors. You can fire anybody for any reason at any time. They can't sue.
They can't?
No, they're independent contractors.
But
if they're able to sue, Enzo would be a fucking billionaire right now.
My feeling is, come Labor Day, Dream's not on the line with NXT.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, it certainly doesn't look well for him. I mean, especially since this is the second accusation. Yeah.
And I hope he's innocent.
Me too.
For the victim's sake, because no one wants that ever to happen anyway.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Yeah, and, you know, for his sake. Because I don't want him to be a pedophile. I don't want pedophiles to exist in general. But that one's going to take a little more time. Now, going to the sensitivity training route, Jimmy Havoc and Sammy Guevara are both suspended and in sensitivity training. What do you make of the way good old King Kong Bundy handled this?
Havoc should be done. Like, the story
is about... It's not just one.
The stories about Havoc are pretty disgusting.
It's not just one.
And... I read somewhere that maybe it was you that told me this, you can't fire somebody in rehab, so maybe the rehab was like...
I didn't tell you this. So.
Someone told me, like, you can't, if someone's in rehab, you can't fire them or something.
Possibly.
So maybe...
It makes sense to me.
So maybe he went to rehab on his own to kind of try and save his job for the time being.
Yes.
Because they made it clear, like, they will reevaluate his job status when he's through with rehab.
I mean, I hate him the way it is, I know you do too.
Well... At first, I just hated him as a wrestler, not a human being. Yeah. Now I hate him as a human being and a wrestler.
Okay, well, that's fair.
Until last week and all, I heard all the accusations. I never had anything against him as a human being. So I wouldn't. I think before last week, hate was a strong word. Now I think hate might be an appropriate word. But yeah, fuck Jimmy Havoc.
And now probably the most damning for their brand is Sammy.
Yeah, the Sammy situation is interesting. So 4 years ago on a post Raw show with the whole fucking show, he basically made a joke saying he wanted to rape Sasha Banks, which is wildly inappropriate, and I think AEW took the completely correct route here. I don't think it's something he should have been fired for, but sensitivity training and maybe, you know, a couple months without pay, that'll really...
Punishment is punishment, not full cancellation for him.
And I watched Sammy's apology video. It did legitimately seem sincere. I know Sasha posted that they had a conversation, and, you know, the air was kind of cleared, and there's no bad feelings there on that end anymore.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think Sammy's young enough.
He was a dumb kid at the time.
Yeah, and 22. And that's not an excuse.
It's not an excuse. It's just
it is what it is.
It is what it is. How many dumb shit you noticed that I said 4 years, 3 years ago when I was 22?
Yeah.
But... No, I never said I was going to rape anybody.
Right,
but
right. No, I got what you mean.
He deserves to be punished, but let him go to the training. Suspend him. If he learns, he learns, but he already has strike one and two.
And it's also a great thing. They're donating his salary to the Jacksonville Women's Shelter.
Much better handling on this one from Tony.
Yeah, especially after, because the Havoc press release was kind of a joke. It was on the fucking iPhone Notes app, and it was literally just screenshotted and posted on their Twitter. They got a lot of backlash for that, and they learned from it, because I bet they were hoping they wouldn't have to put out another statement as fast as they did. But when they had to put out the Sammy statement, it was much more professional, had their logo on it. It looked like a legitimate press release. So, you know, they're still a new company in those aspects, and, like, you know, they haven't had to deal with a ton of scandals, so.
And they will.
It's
inevitable.
I thought the way they handled the Sammy deal from a PR perspective was much better than the way they handled the Havoc deal.
Agree completely.
And
just hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully Sammy can learn from this and come back, because he could be the future of that company.
I think he is. I think he's at the top heel in the future.
He's a talented motherfucker who said a dumb thing, a really, 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 really dumb thing 4 years ago that he's getting punished for. Hopefully he learns from, and, you know, hopefully he bounces back.
Just know he's not that nice.
And, you know, I'll say this. I saw some, for lack of a better term, WWE marks calling for his job just for the sake of his stupid war. That's dumb. Yeah. Come on.
No, Sammy didn't need to lose his career over what happened here.
But he definitely needed punishment of some form, and this was appropriate. And
I think Sasha and him talking is huge.
And that's the most important part, that he apologized to her.
Yeah, it was just a completely inappropriate thing to say ever.
Yeah.
Let alone when you're trying to work for the best company.
Yeah.
The biggest company on the planet, before anybody comes at me. So, that's that. Actually, one more thing with that. There has been some serious, serious downfall from this fallout, if you want to say. Shakara is now out of business.
Yeah, they had many people accused it. Including Mike Quackenbush, who's, like, the face of Shakara, so.
I think he's a promoter, isn't he?
Yeah.
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 So, he, with Shakara, rest in peace, any good Shakara moments, any good Shakara memories?
I mean, the King of Trios is always fun. That's kind of what sticks out to me the most.
I saw a Shakara show once, and I was 8 and didn't know the difference between that and the WWE show, so. There's that, although I did see the Kings of Wrestling, which was cool. But
you didn't see the best version of the Kings of Wrestling.
No, I did not.
Jeff Jarrett, Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, TNA 2004. They wore Elvis jumpsuits. It was awesome.
Yeah, is that when Macho Man came in with no build at all?
That is when Macho Man came in.
There's more build the next week's NXT show than...
Macho Man's final ever wrestling match was in TNA. Think about that.
That's just upsetting.
Just think about that.
Would he have ever gotten back?
I don't think he would have ever gotten back to wrestle, but I think he would have been involved in some way. Eventually. I mean, time heals all wounds.
Believe what you want. But nothing was ever. I think it was more Vince sidelined him and he didn't want to be sidelined.
Oh yeah, I think so too.
I don't believe.
I know the Steph rumors are out there.
I don't believe the Steph rumors for a minute.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I mean,
but that's a whole different.
Yeah, that's a whole different can of worms there.
So Tony, you've been watching wrestling. Why don't you fill us in the New Japan Cup?
Yeah. So they had the second round matches on Wednesday morning. And we have the following people moving on. Tomohiro Ishii, Hiromu Takahashi, Taiji Ishimori, and Kazuchika Okada. I will say Okada and Nagata was awesome. Go out of your way to watch that if you haven't.
I will have to watch it.
Hiromu and Yano was like a really fun comedy match that involved an elevator.
Yeah, it was wild.
Oh, so you did see this?
I did see this, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I thought I know some people were bitching like that Hiromu is like one of the new faces in New Japan. They couldn't put him over clean against Yano. But there's history there. Takahashi lost his hair to Yano in the past, and that's why they had the Clippers spot with the Clippers. And I don't think we talked about the show and Shingo match in this yet, because I don't think that happened after last week's
episode. Yes, it did. You're right. It did.
So Show and Shingo kicked ass.
Yes, it did. I believe it was Monday, correct?
Yes, it was Monday morning.
Yeah, that match kicked all the ass. And yeah. Show got the win.
I was shocked, but I'm very pleased. But even the refrigerator cannot match Super Jack Show.
No. I love
Super Jack Show. And then Yo got his ass kicked, which made it even better.
Yes.
Yo sucks.
Yeah, fuck Yo.
Fuck Yo. Me and all my homies hate Yo. But yeah, the New Japan Cup, like you said, it's so great to have to have New Japan back, and we will have fans back Saturday, July the 11th, with the finals of the New Japan Cup. So I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be nice to hear some noise from, like, legitimate paying fans again. And it just shows how shitty our country has handled this coronavirus while fucking Japan is killing it. So good on them. I don't think we're going to have sports at fans anytime in the near future, which is heartbreaking, but totally different issue.
Yep. Yeah, it's a completely different thing.
Yeah.
But I'm excited. I'm so happy to see New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, it's been especially with like all of the shit that's gone down in American wrestling with all the scandals and COVID, which we'll get into in a minute. It's just been so refreshing to see some wholesome New Japan wrestling. It's great. I'm excited. I honestly don't know who the fuck's going to win this tournament now. Oh, we didn't even talk about fucking Taichi beating Tanahashi. That was wild.
Yeah, what the fuck?
But I saw, so Ibushi and Sabre Jr. and then Tanahashi and Taichi were right next to each other on the bracket. So I knew they wouldn't do Taichi versus Sabre or Tana versus Ibushi because they're tag champs together. So I knew it was going to be some form versus Suzuki-Gun versus Tana and Ibushi. But I thought it would be Sabre versus Tana. But they went with Ibushi versus Taichi. So
Taichi. Miz gets the win.
I love Taichi. I know we talked. I think we talked about this.
Yeah, no, Taichi's awesome.
Taichi said Tanahashi got fat, so he got fat too, just to be a fair fight. That's the best line ever.
He did get fat.
That's all.
I'm kind of an expert in some of
them. And did you see Tanahashi's jacket that he wore? That thing was sweet.
He always wears some weird, like, Road Warrior cosplay.
That fucking jacket was so sweet.
Yeah, it was
awesome. Tanahashi's a god.
Yeah, he's probably the best wrestler in history of promotion.
Okada.
Most decorated.
Okay, I'll probably give you that one. I'll give you that one.
With the most longevity. I mean, Okada's only been wrestling 12 years. Tana was a young lion in, like, 1996.
I think 99, but I get your point.
Yeah.
Hey, Okada could pass him for longevity. Who knows? I can see that kid having a long career.
I told you, Sonata's going to win.
You think so? You're still on the Sonata train.
Still on the Sonata train.
Even with that shitty hair.
Even with the shitty hair. Mama Sonata is...
Put a bowl over his head and threw some bleach on it.
Yeah, you just got to cut the hair. Samoa Joe cut his hair, so now I have to... Now all my Samoa Joe hate...
No, Samoa Joe braided the hair. He didn't cut it.
It's better than the Joe Hawk.
I think anything's better than Joe Hawk.
I'm pretty sure anything's better
than Joe Hawk. But Samoa Joe's embracing the long hair.
He's a commentator now.
I saw, like, a really good point, and I feel bad that I don't remember who said it, but someone said, I miss Samoa Joe wrestling, but if he goes back to wrestling, I'm going to miss Samoa Joe commentating. We need more than one Samoa Joe.
Yes, we do need another Samoa Joe. That's a lot of space.
Yeah, that's a lot of spots in the Meat Guy Classic.
I was just gonna say that.
That's a lot of. Both of them
would be there, right?
Oh yeah.
Could you imagine?
Who are the commentators for the Meat Guy Classic? It has to be Joe and Taz, right?
Oh my God! Yeah.
Joe and Taz are the commentators for the Meat Guy, and maybe Monsoon. Joe and Taz.
Joe, Taz, and Monsoon. Oh my God! How did Monsoon not make it?
Because we were doing modern
1985.
Era. Yeah,
okay.
he was retired from an in-ring competitor by then.
Okay, that's fine.
But he's definitely in the Meat Guy Classic commentator.
Booth. Yes, Joe. Who's the ring announcer?
Fink was kind of husky in those later years.
Fink, who's the booker?
We're the bookers.
I'm the Mean Guy booker.
We're the bookers.
So, okay, so now we have Joe and Taz, the Fink.
Taz and Monsoon, don't we?
Joe, Taz, and Monsoon.
Who's the GM of the Mean Guy Wrestling Federation? President Jack Tunney?
Yes.
President Jack Tunney. This is the best federation ever.
Yes, fantastic.
I love it.
But now, up to a more sad news. My favorite show ever got canceled.
You barely even watched it.
I watched it a lot.
I don't believe you.
You shouldn't.
I don't want you to try to lie.
No, I have been watching it.
Want to know how I know you didn't watch it?
How?
Because it got canceled. Nobody's watching it.
Yeah, that's true. So that's a backstage, of course, we were talking about.
Yeah.
And they liquidated, Fox Sports liquidated Backstage.
Yeah, basically all of the... It wasn't just WWE, it's WWE and boxing, so
yeah.
I guess.
No, it was just a cut.
Yeah. I think the time slot kind of screwed them. Tuesdays at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, who the hell is watching TV then?
But also, I think the bigger issue is, like, there's already WWE 3 days a week.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody wants to watch another hour of WWE.
I enjoyed Backstage. I thought Renee was great.
No, yeah, but that's the problem. Most people didn't really give it a chance.
Yeah.
It was nice to hear them talk about storylines and, like, not have to, like, worry about pissing anybody off. Because, I mean, Booker buried a lot of people on that show. I love Booker, but I thought the promo class was always an entertaining segment. Booker T eviscerated people in promo class. It was wild.
He got eviscerated once, too.
Yeah, he did.
By the guy who played Richard...
Paul...
Shit, what's that movie? Richard
Jewell?
Richard Jewell.
Yeah.
The guy who played Richard Jewell.
Yeah, I think his name's like
eviscerated by him.
Yeah. But I enjoyed it too. They tried to bring in CM Punk to save the show, and it worked for a little bit. Yeah. But then people realized CM Punk was just going to be CM Punk and not actually be back.
Yeah.
And they
here's my thing. They sold all the contracts to WWE.
No, they didn't.
I heard WWE was awarded the contracts.
I think that was just a rumor and innuendo.
If that is so, the CM Punk work for WWE again.
No, because the amount of money Fox was paying him, that's not nearly enough to get in the ring.
That's true.
Like,
that's true. But that's a fun little thing.
And the problem is CM Punk always said he'd go back, but Vince said Punk is one of two guys he'd never work with again.
Yeah, he'll be back.
I don't know, but at this point, even who cares at this point?
No, I don't. You
know
what I mean? It'd be cool.
Would it though? Like, he hasn't wrestled since 2014. He's cut a lot of fucking weight for the UFC.
I didn't think he was all that good when he wrestled.
He was capable. He
was much better outside the ring than in it.
I mean, he is like the only 5-star match on the main roster since 1997.
That's also fair. That match was great.
And it was against another guy who's not known for his great matches.
I also think their one on Raw was better.
So do I. I don't think that's that uncommon of an opinion.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you're right. I don't really care to see him back.
If this was like 3 years ago, I would have been going crazy.
Yeah.
But at this point, it's just like,
it's just so long ago. Who the fuck cares?
Especially if he doesn't want to do it.
Yeah.
Like, if he's
why even?
You're if right. He's not into it, why? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Why even?
If you're gonna half ass it, I don't care.
Yeah.
But it does suck. I enjoyed backstage, too. Renee loved the role. She seems pretty bummed about it, amongst other things she's bummed about.
We'll get there in a second.
But I don't think they stood a chance because of the time slot and just the oversaturation of WWE. Maybe if Raw was only 2 hours still. And, like, now with, like, Raw Talk back, and it's like, that's another WWE talk show. They brought back Raw Talk. Now, like, you know what I mean? Like, what's the role for, you know what I mean? It's just,
it's bizarre.
I don't know. It seems like they're, it never was going to work.
COVID sucks.
And they haven't ruled out producing special episodes. Like, maybe around Mania season we'll get an episode. So
I like this group of people.
So it's not, like, dead for sure, but it's dead as a weekly program, which is unfortunate.
Yes, it is. So
didn't even last a year. Jesus.
Yeah, I know. Probably just under a year, right?
October.
Oh, was it October?
Yeah.
Okay. Time is non-existent anymore.
Because they didn't even get to Fox till October.
Yeah. Well, that's true. You're right. But I'm gonna let you take us from here. You can drive the bus.
All right. So, COVID, it's a thing. It sucks. But there's one person who doesn't believe it's a thing, and that is Vincent Kennedy McMahon. And because of that, because of his negligence, anywhere, we don't know the exact number, but we know it's between 10 and 24 members of the WWE, both backstage and active roster, have tested positive for COVID-19. Some of the people that came public, Kayla Braxton, for a second time, she had it in March, and now she has it again. Renee Young, which is why Moxley was not at AEW. Adam Pearce. And I don't know if the Theory one is confirmed, but there's a rumor going around that Austin Theory has it, but I didn't see that from, like, a reputable source, so I'm not going to, like, say it as fact. But we know it's somewhere between 10 and 24. There's a lot more that haven't come public with it. So, just a scary situation. And
unfortunately, I think it's a little inevitable.
Yeah, oh, of course. Oh, yeah.
It will happen to AEW as well. It's just, this thing is,
but the thing is, AEW is in much better position to get in front of it because they've been testing the whole time. So, the first time somebody pops up, they could shut it down.
Yeah.
WWE didn't start testing until they had their first positive case, which was just 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, because we talked about it last week. And so, while, yes, there may be some positive cases in AEW, it'll be much more contained than it was. Like, it won't run wild like it did in WWE. And it's just utterly unacceptable. Like, everything you're hearing about the behind the scenes, where they asked Vince 3 times to shut it down and he refused. It's just, it's unacceptable. I don't know how anybody could defend this. So I'll give you an opportunity. Try to defend this.
Yeah, they haven't been ideal.
Ideal, that's for fucking sure.
I just hope everybody's okay.
And I don't enjoy burying WWE, but when they deserve to be buried, I will bury them. Like, I buried them for the releases. I'm burying them for the, like, this is unacceptable.
I just think that this was inevitable. unfortunately, because they've handled it so badly.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It didn't have to be inevitable.
No, it didn't. Now they have a chance to start testing.
Yes.
And contain it.
They better fucking... And they're still having a taping today.
I don't know. I don't know who has it. I don't know how many people have it. But I just think they have a chance to start testing and contain this to those 10 to 20 people that have it.
Yeah, by shutting it down. Shut it the fuck down.
It should be shut down.
Just fucking play episodes from the fucking Attitude Era for the next 2 months. People seem to love that.
That's true. But I don't know. It's a disaster. And you have people that are pregnant involved, especially if Theory gets it.
Yeah, just think about it. I don't want to spread rumors or anything, but if Theory has it and gave it to Rollins, and Rollins goes home and gives it to his pregnant, soon-to-be wife, that's disastrous.
Yeah, it's just... It's bad, and as the country goes back up in cases, you're going to see this.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't help the fact they're in fucking Florida.
Yeah.
That doesn't help.
You got to get out of Florida. They really got to get out of Florida.
But Florida's the only state that's fucking batshit crazy enough to let them run. That's why AEW's still in Florida.
Yeah, that's true.
Other state in their right mind, maybe Arizona would, too.
Yes.
But where the fuck are you going to find buildings in Arizona?
Sedona? I don't know.
It's just... This whole thing is baffling.
I Googled Austin Theory and I got some serious speaking out stuff.
Oh, yeah. He had accusations, too.
Well, yeah, I didn't see those.
Yeah. I think those were, in the past few days when you were really busy.
Yeah.
But I don't know the validity of those, so I kind of avoided judgment. I hope they're not true, but the evidence seemed, the DM seemed pretty damning.
Yeah, we're here to talk about COVID.
Yeah.
So... Hopefully they can contain it. This whole thing has been a disaster. And I hope they get better soon.
And just imagine if somehow, Mox went to AEW. He had it, but he tested negative and then gave it to their whole roster. Because, sometimes they say, if you're infected, it takes, up to 4 days for there to be a positive test.
A lot of false negatives,
yeah.
I meant to say.
Yeah. So, just imagine if Mox decided to go to AEW, because Mox decided on his own not to go, which was absolutely the right decision.
Yes.
So just imagine he goes, he takes a test, he's tested negative, but he really has it and spreads it to, Big Swole of Crohn's disease. Disastrous.
That is disastrous, especially since one of the asymptomatic symptoms is...
Fuck, I didn't even think about this. Who's Big Swole married to?
I don't know.
Cedric Alexander. Where's Cedric Alexander work?
Oh, God.
That's this is scary.
Well, he works there.
He's been on main event. He's been at the tapings.
But I just think, it's a disaster. It's an absolute disaster.
It's indefensible.
With everybody involved, who's confirmed? Adam Pearce and Kayla.
Adam Pearce, Kayla, Renee. Those are the ones I saw. Obviously, there's a lot more.
No wrestlers yet?
Well, there's wrestlers. We just don't know.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. No confirmed wrestlers yet.
Yeah.
So, we can kind of pick out who's not there. In these coming up weeks.
But also, they could just not go out of precaution. I think we're going to see a lot more of that now.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin Owens was just a start, and Roman Reigns looks like the smartest man in America right now because he was on this shit in March.
Yeah, he's been gone since March. I think since Mania, right?
He walked out of the Mania tapings, which are the middle of March.
Good God, that's so long ago.
Yeah.
But I just think... I think that, like I said, they had to start testing. Prayers to everybody involved. Top to bottom, stay safe, stay healthy. Not that anybody in the company listens to the show, but I think they have to start testing now. They have to.
Oh, yeah, and I think...
And I think they will.
I think they will, too, but it's still... it's unexcusable.
It is unexcusable. There's been very few companies that has held to handle this worse than us, or worse than them.
Jesus. Freudian slip there. We know where you stand.
Oh, you already know where I stand. But I just think they need to start testing now. And hopefully this can pass.
Yeah. And you know what? If you're not going to shut it down, just bulk tape a month and a weekend and get everyone home for a while.
Yeah. And then ride it out, especially if we're getting 36,000, 37,000 new cases a day.
That's the thing. I don't think people are realizing that these guys are flying in and out every week. AEW has people at a hotel in Jacksonville.
Yeah. That's why I'm extremely precautious on the road, because I've showed you my territory.
Yeah.
I drive the very, very wide-ranging area of the state.
But now...
If I got it, I would do a lot of damage.
But now, the thing that I'm, like, really curious about is, did you see the new travel ban news?
Yes.
So, the states are Connecticut, New Jersey, and New York. If you live in any of those states and you travel to Florida, Arizona, Texas, Georgia, all these hot spots, you have to quarantine for 2 weeks. Well, who lives in Connecticut?
T.L. Hopper.
Maybe he does, but I was thinking every executive that is at these tapings.
Yeah.
How are they going to get around? I mean, I'm sure Vince will fucking find a way around it because he's Vince, but, like, well, how are they going to...
All the McMahons.
Bruce.
Bruce.
Everybody... Pierce. Everybody who works in the office lives in Connecticut, obviously, because the fucking office is in Connecticut.
Yeah.
How are they going to get around that?
Or they live in New York.
Yeah, which is also...
Yeah. He was in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Who?
T.L. Hopper.
Oh. Of course he looked that up.
But, yeah, it's just going to be bad. I mean, we'll talk about this next week as well. Because there's no chance of no news between now and then.
Oh, yeah. It'll probably be, you know how this works. We'll get done recording and someone noteworthy. God, knock on wood, I pray that doesn't happen, but someone noteworthy. Dude, Ric Flair was at these tapings.
Yeah.
Like, think about that.
Ric Flair was at these tapings?
If Ric Flair gets it, that's a disaster.
Oh, that's awful.
That's an unmitigated disaster.
Yeah, that's he doesn't survive this.
Like, this is... And part of it's on Ric Flair's fault for agreeing to go, but it's Ric Flair. He's not going to say no.
Yeah.
Like, how do you let this happen?
You're right. Unmitigated disaster is an understatement.
And the same thing with... At least AEW is testing, but still JR, Jake, Arn, Tully. None of these guys should be there either.
Yeah. It's just that they've both handled it badly.
No, WWE's handled it badly. AEW, I'm on the fence with them because at least they're testing every single person every single week.
Both has handled it badly. One has handled it significantly worse than the other one.
It's just, it's mind-boggling.
Yep.
But... And then if the no-mask thing is true, which is their conflicting reports on, that's such a bad look.
Yeah, it's an awful look.
Ugh.
I wear my mask everywhere.
It's, ugh.
But...
Every fan in AEW and WWE, and I use fan in quotations because, you know, they're all just workers, but every fan should be masked.
Yep, I agree 100%.
Even in AEW's case where they test every single person, still, there's some people that refuse to wear masks. Maybe if they see their favorite stars on TV wearing masks, they'll be like, okay, if Darby Allin could wear a mask, I could wear a mask.
If Kane could wear a mask, I could wear a mask.
Well, Kane wasn't wearing a mask.
Well, I mean, he was also, like, on the street. Somebody could have approached him and you didn't have one on him.
I mean, still, if you're the mayor, you probably should be setting an example and wearing a mask.
That's true. But that's enough talk about COVID.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll be back with an update next week.
Hopefully we won't be, but we probably will be.
Yeah. Either way, we're going to update it. Hopefully it's not disastrous. Coming up next is the World Famous War Report, and we will see you then.
The War Report for Wednesday, June 24th. Before we get into Dynamite and NXT for the week, of course, we know over the next 2 weeks, AEW will host their Fyter Fest special. But during the show on Wednesday, we had an announcement from NXT that we will have the only Great American Bash too big for one night.
I love it. I love every minute of it.
It is the most petty thing I've ever seen.
Now, here's my thing.
Okay.
Remember all these people who were excited for their elite drones that are ready for a Wednesday night war? Counter programming is always going to be a part of that war.
Oh yeah, no, I agree.
Do it.
But them counter programming isn't what makes it petty.
Well, here's my thing. You know, if they can lose that trademark if they don't use it. So what's a better time?
Yeah, but they don't have to use it for a live show. They could put a DVD. They could do a lot of things. They put out a T-shirt.
I love every minute of it.
No, I'm not.
Dusty on the commercial was outstanding.
I agree with your point entirely. I'm just saying it's super petty because they're using a name that Dusty created. Dusty was the very first person you see in the commercial, and they're using it against Dusty's kids promotion.
Dusty's smiling right now. Dusty is smiling ear to ear. The son of a plumber is in heaven, loving it.
So I guess my main question for you is, does having a Great American Bash with zero build bastardize the legacy of the Great American Bash?
No. Not at all.
Why?
Why would it?
Because it was a staple of WCW for years. I guess my counterpoint would be WWE already kind of drug it through the mud with their awful Great American Bash. That wasn't going to be your point. So I'm saying, yeah.
No, but you're right. I'm disagreeing with you.
But it was one of the most iconic concepts in history, going back pre-WCW to Crockett, and now it's just a two-week special with literally zero build.
Hey, it happens. I love every fucking minute of it.
And I guess my whole deal is, who cares if they're counter-programming?
Yeah, that's part of this war that everybody wanted.
If you watch both shows, it's good.
Yeah, it's
good. If you only watch NXT, it's good.
Yeah.
If you only watch AEW, it's good. Who cares?
The next 2 Wednesdays are going to be fucking awesome.
Yeah. Well, hopefully. We don't even know what NXT's doing yet.
Yeah, we have one strap match.
We have a strap match, and we have a title match for the second week of Great American Bash.
Absolutely phenomenal. I love it.
So
let's get into the shows.
As always, we will start with...
But first, please, just run me the numbers of the ratings.
Who cares about ratings?
Just run me the numbers.
AEW is 19th in the demo, and NXT was 26th in the demo.
I love it. I fucking love it.
Another one for the good guys.
Another one for the good guys.
That 19th place demo.
Baby. I love that AEW got demolished.
Yeah, so the numbers were NXT had 786,000 to AEW 633,000. Now, why do you love that AEW got demolished?
Because I just love, because everybody talks when they win. Another one for the good guys, and it's always the fucking gif of Scott Hall.
Well, I guess that comes from a podcast. I don't know which podcast, but I guess that's a thing.
I don't give a fuck which podcast. But I think that I just enjoy when that NXT wins. I don't know why. I prefer NXT, you know that.
So do I, but I don't care about ratings.
But it's just, it enjoys me watching Twitter meltdown, talking about the demos and, like, quarter hours. I love it.
All right.
Is that fair?
Not really, but...
Hey, life's not fair, pal.
I just think it's like, who cares?
I don't care.
You do care. You're over here to lie. You got a soundbite ready.
It was a laugh track, son. I don't care about ratings because they do not matter, but since everybody does care, I have to care as well.
No, you don't.
Oh, whatever.
If everybody's jumping off a bridge, do you have to jump off a bridge?
I care why everybody cares about them.
I would pay to see you jump off a bridge.
I've jumped off bridges.
Into a fucking stone pit.
Into swimming holes.
That's dangerous.
It is. Dangerous middle name.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Middle name's David.
David Dangerous Harding.
Yeah. Although, when I got confirmation, my middle name's John, so.
Is it really?
Because I was told when I got confirmation, my brother... took my first name as his confirmation name, and so I was told I had to take my brother's name as my confirmation name, and my brother's name is John, but the problem was my middle name is already John.
So is his name Jonathan or John?
His name's John, but he could call him Jack. Because my dad's John, too. Yeah,
that's a popular thing.
Yeah.
With John.
Jungle Boy Jack.
Jungle Boy Jack Hallett.
Well, he has a different last name.
Oh, right. We went through this.
Yeah, we've been.
But
anyway, anywho.
So... Haas fight started out at AEW.
Yeah, we opened with a lumberjack match. Wardlow versus Luchasaurus. This was a lot of fun. I enjoyed this.
Love a good big guy fight.
I will say they did my least favorite spot ever, where a bunch of people wait for dives, except this time the dive was Marco Stunt being fired at them, and then Luchasaurus pulling off an admittedly impressive shooting star press.
Yes, it was... When he does good, he's great, but he's sloppy sometimes.
He is just like, dude, last year at this time, I feel like Luchasaurus might have been the most popular wrestler on the planet.
Yeah, because that ridiculous hot tag at Fyter Fest.
Yeah, it's just, and now he's just a guy.
Yeah,
now he's just a dinosaur.
Poor guy.
He's just a dinosaur.
Yeah.
But the match ended when your favorite referee on the planet, Rick Knox, was distracted, and Wardlow took... Luchasaurus to Dick Kick City, hit an F10, got the W, and then after the match, they can Jurassic Express and MJF and Wardlow continued to brawl, and then Shivani announced at Fyter Fest it would be Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus against MJF and Wardlow. I liked it. What say you?
I liked it as well, and I'm looking forward to that match because I think Jungle Jack and MJF. Is the feud
that should be like
that will
that,
continue?
That should be their Undertaker, Shawn Michaels.
That should be the. I think that no, it shouldn't. It should be The Rock and Triple H. They're feuding as upstarts and let them feud right up to the main event, for years.
Fair enough, I guess that's fair.
But
I just think there's money. I think you have the ultimate heel versus the ultimate babyface, and when I'm not saying that matters as much anymore, but when it's prevalent, it's great.
So the second match is Hikaru Shida taking on Red Velvet.
I do love some Red Velvet.
Just basically a squash. And then Shida and Ford got into it at ringside, and they brawled, and Ricky Starks and Kip Sabian even got involved in the brawl. So.
Because of course they did.
Well, fucking Sabian is engaged to Ford's. That makes sense. And yeah. He needed a baby face to help fend off Sabian. Yeah. So that's what do you mean? Of course he is.
Yeah, just Sabian's always around.
I like him. I don't know why you don't.
It doesn't do nothing for me. I like Yoshihashi more than him.
No, you don't.
Who do you hate more, Yoshihashi or Jimmy Havoc? Wrestling ability only.
Yoshihashi.
Really?
How can you go that long without ever winning a title anywhere?
I mean, he can wrestle. There's no reason not to like him.
But I think my new least favorite wrestler ever is also in New Japan, but it's not Yoshihashi.
Yo.
No, he's up there, but you know who it is.
Taiji Ishimori.
No, I love Taiji Ishimori.
No, who is it?
Doki.
Oh, Doki.
I fucking hate Doki.
I hate Doki, too.
He's so useless. Dude, his attire pisses me off. He's useless. His fucking pipe pisses me off. Yeah, exactly. His presence pisses me off. And the fact that you could also pronounce his name as Dookie is so appropriate. Because he is Dookie. So up next, I don't know how you segue to that. But now we have a Fyter Fest press conference featuring Cody and the Big Hurt, Jake Hager. So... Longtime PWI writers Liz Hunter and Matt Brock were there to ask ridiculous questions about Cody's desire to fight and what being the first champion means to him. When Hager pulls his best Conor McGregor and shows up late with his wife, they have their little UFC stare-down style photo op, and then Hager threw water in Cody's face and they left.
I did not like this. It was seemed very forced.
I think it was one of those ideas that like sounded really good on paper. Like, I bet they wrote it and said, like, oh, man, this is going to be great. And I see what they were going for, but I think the execution was kind of wonky. I don't know if those are legitimate questions or they scripted those questions, but...
They were scripted. They had to be. No one asked those questions.
That's kind of my point.
No one. Not a single person asked those questions. I forget what the one was, but it was faker language than what WWE uses.
And then Arn's response about how telling Cody he wasn't, like, ready to face Jake Hager, just the motive. It was so weird. It was just weird.
Arn, man.
Arn said he had a coach's corner in the back.
Oh, did you notice another thing they pick up on?
What?
That people watch the current matches in AEW just like they do in WWE now?
Oh, I haven't really paid
attention. I forget who they cut it to. I forget they cut to somebody watching a match, and it was a sideways look.
Was it someone that used to be in WWE?
No.
Oh, wow. I can understand if it's like Moxley, because hard habits are tough to break, but...
Yeah. But, yeah, they do that now. And
that could also be a rib.
Yeah, it could be, but it's dumb.
Oh, yeah, it's dumb. I hate the way people in WWE are forced to watch television. No one watches television like this. Like, it's stupid. So, what do we have up next?
The weirdest tag match in the history of tag matches.
Yeah. So,
Joey Janela and Sonny Kiss versus Mr. Brody Lee.
Oh, we got to talk about the hype package first.
Oh, yes, we do. Okay.
So they're showing a video of Sonny Kiss and Joey Janela cruising down the road. Now, you have to watch the full version of this on YouTube on Twitter because it actually was a really well done video. Easy for me to say. But Janela is doubting himself. He doesn't think he's the bad boy anymore. But Sonny Kiss says everyone loses themselves every once in a while. And, you know, you got to find yourself. So they stop at a gas station. And Janela decides to go get some snacks. Now, what they cut out of the version they aired on TV that was hysterical was Janela asks if they have any Nutella, which you know what that's a shot at, right?
No.
What does Cornette call him?
Oh, okay, yeah, jelly Nutella.
He asked them if they have any Nutella, which is hysterical. And then Sonny Kiss is getting I read an article because people criticized JR for calling Sonny Kiss her again, but I guess she or he doesn't mind. Like, I guess they take either one. So, like, I don't know. I'm just going to call him Sonny. So Sonny Kiss is fighting off three guys, and then Janela comes out, and they beat him up, and then they both say they could get used to this.
Yeah, and they're an interesting little team.
Yeah, I like it. And they worked really well together in the match. So now we get to the match. Brody Lee and Colt Cabana take on Joey Janela and Sonny Kiss. Janela and Kiss have been teaming up on Dark in the past few weeks, and they're 4-0 as a tag team. I thought they worked very well together. I like this match a lot. I love the story of, like, the Dark Order trying to convince Colt Cabana to join. And all the guys in AEW, I don't know how you'd go for him, but nonetheless, the Dark Order saved Colt Cabana on several occasions. And then the finish came when Lee hit a discus lariat on Janela and allowed Colt to pin him and get the victory. And then Lance Archer came out and destroyed Janela and Kiss.
Yeah, it's very weird. Is Colt a member of the Dark Order now?
No. But he's teaming up with them again at Fyter Fest. Because I guess the story continues. Up next, probably the best thing on either show. SCU taking on FTR. FTR drove their stupid truck again. But that plays in the story later. So, the two teams had a lot of good chain wrestling. This match is just so fucking good.
Yeah, it was just four, one legend and four total greats just going out there and doing what they do. They did chose the tag team. Tag team wrestling does not need any sparklers, does not need any flips, just fists, and just let it happen. The tag team matches with rules are always better than tag team matches without them.
They did the old small package reverse the pressure spot, which I think is my least favorite spot in history.
Yeah, I don't
but like it's that. Super old school, and it works for FTR. Just a great, and this match went a while. They got some time, and it was very good. Eventually, Dax and Cash hit the Goodnight Express on Daniels. And then FTR cuts out a promo calling out Jurassic Express, Santana and Ortiz, and then finally the one everyone was waiting for, the Young Bucks. But then we cut to the truck, and it's the Butcher, and it's the Blade. And the Blade says, "Hey, Butch, I think we need a new meat wagon," which was the line of the millennium. That was, "Hey, Butch, I think we need a new meat wagon."
Yeah, it was outstanding.
You don't understand how hard I laughed.
You texted me how hard you were laughing.
He said, "Hey, Butch, I think we need a new meat wagon." He called him, first of all, he called him Butch. Second of all, meat wagon.
I'm a meat wagon.
How are these guys on the Mean Guy Classic? I don't
know. The Butcher's a tad too fat.
And then they say that we challenge you and your buddies, the Young Bucks, to an 8-man tag against us. And then FTR's like, "Who's us? What?" And then they turn around and the Lucha Bros are in the ring. The returning Pentagon Jr. and the also returning, except his is from injury, Rey Fénix. They hit their package pile driver double foot stomp combo on I believe it was Dax.
Yes.
And then the Young Bucks conveniently come out to make the save after the damage is already done. So building into that storyline.
Wonder where they're going.
And then the Lucha Bros and the Butcher and the Blade take off in the truck, which is a fucking hysterical visual.
It was a great visual.
Imagine driving down the road and seeing those four human beings in that truck.
I mean, Cody could have stopped them. He would have to stop after 20 feet.
The Butcher was driving and Fénix was in the passenger seat. Just, and then the Blade and Pentagon are in the bed. What a visual, driving down the Florida highway.
Oh, that's unbelievable. That's awesome. That's awesome.
So that 8-man tag is probably going to be awesome.
Yeah, there's no way.
I can't wait for that.
Whatever night's going to be on.
Brian Cage taking on John Cruz. Taz got on commentary, but by the time he got his headset on, the match was already over as Cage had a drill claw.
I like that.
Taz cut a promo on Moxley and asked if the champ could stop the path of Cage. I love Taz and Cage together. It was such a great idea.
Taz with no ropes is pretty great. Building, man.
And then the main event, not the last segment, but the main event of in-ring action, Broken Matt Hardy taking on Santana. I don't know. To me, this was just kind of a match. You know what I mean? It was fine. You have any particular thoughts on it?
Yeah, I'm sick of seeing Matt Hardy.
Did you like to get the broken version of Matt Hardy? Let everyone on Twitter decide which version of Matt Hardy we all got. And we had the broken version of Matt Hardy.
Like that wasn't going to win.
So, yeah, Hardy got the win after reversing a pinfall attempt by Santana. Classic old school finish. It was fine. Didn't hate it. Didn't love it. It was there. Matt Hardy isn't gonna be everyone's cup of tea.
Matt Hardy's just there anymore to me.
So now the main event segment of the show, a match I'm actually super looking forward to.
Yeah, well, they I
got
see
me.
What,
they got I, me interested.
I
in want to
see
match.
How they play it.
Chris Jericho and Orange Cassidy had an in-ring face-off. Jericho, this one kind of missed for me. I know Jericho, his whole thing is he can get anything over. But Jericho said Orange Cassidy is the joke of AEW, much like why did the chicken cross the road? That one just didn't do it for me.
That didn't land.
And he kept going for it. But then Jericho got serious, and he said, if you try your stupid little shin kicks, I'm going to beat the shit out of you, which was a great line. He gave credit for Orange Cassidy being able to get over on his own, much like he was able to. But he said he made a mistake once he got in Le Champion's face. If he tries any of his bullshit offense, Jericho will beat him in 30 seconds at Fyter Fest. Cassidy took the mic. He then planted the mic down and did his shin kick on Jericho. Jericho did not, in fact, beat the shit out of him like he threatened. He instead took his glasses and broke them. But that pissed Orange Cassidy off because you don't fuck with his glasses. He had a double leg on Jericho, and they started brawling. Jericho swung a camera and hit Orange Cassidy right in the side of the head. I think busted open his ear hard way. And Cassidy was able to come back. He had a Superman punch to knock Jericho through a table, and Orange Cassidy stood tall as AEW Dynamite went off the air. I like the brawl. Like I said, I think the chicken cross the road deal, that one didn't land for me. But hey, even the GOAT isn't going to make everything land, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Although I don't understand how he got Rudy Tootie Booty over. That one still baffles me to this day.
Get over a clipboard, for God's sakes. And I love the list.
He got over a traffic cone. I love the he's done it multiple times. He puts a traffic cone on his head and laughs like a witch. I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know how, but.
Yeah, it's because he's drunk. That's why.
So that's AEW. What do you think of the show?
All right. Second best show of the night.
Way to fucking spoil the end.
Oh, no. I might change it by then.
No, you're not. You never pick AEW. So
I did like 2 weeks ago.
So NXT coming to us from Full Sail University. No mention of COVID gate by WWE on air. Not that I expected it because they try to pretend this doesn't exist on air. But the opener, Cameron Grimes and Damian Priest. They show Priest being found outside the Performance Center, attacked next to his beautiful Dodge Challenger. He struggled to get to his feet. Grimes came out and expected to win by forfeit because it's always Grime time. But Priest insisted on having the match. And then Grimes attacked the ribs. Then eventually the match finally started when Priest told the ref to ring the goddamn bell. Priest fought back with strikes. He had a big choke slam, but he hurt his ribs delivering the choke slam. Then they fought outside. Grimes had a cave-in on the outside. He threw Priest back in the ring. Well, actually, he tried to win by count out, but Priest beat the count. Then he hit another cave-in and got the win again. I'm kind of torn on this one because I get that this was designed.
This didn't need to happen this early.
I know they're trying to get Grimes over, but they have something with Priest. And yeah. They don't need to be doing
Priest
this.
Priest just had a fucking making night at Takeover.
What did I say last week? I don't need to see pre-selling for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And he sold this entire match. And I get, like, they want to keep Priest strong about giving Grimes a big win. Same thing they did with Balor when Grimes beat Balor. But I don't know. This isn't the way I would have done it. Grimes is a great chicken shit heel, though, I will say that.
Oh, he's fantastic.
Damian Priest.
He's such a yellow belly.
I guess they're trying to turn Damian Priest babyface. That'd be my kind of assumption.
And that's okay.
Yeah, I think he'd be a good fine baby face.
Me too.
So, yeah, that was the opening segment. I love both guys in it. You know how big of a mark I am for Cameron Grimes. I love what they've turned Trevor Lee into.
Yeah, they gave us a personality.
But this one just missed the mark for me.
It wasn't bad, just wasn't what it should. I don't think it didn't hit.
Up next, Jake Atlas versus Santos Escobar.
Thought this was excellent.
So, basically, Escobar, they showed what he did along with Wild and Mendoza to Drake Maverick last week, putting him through the table with the Phantom Driver. They showed footage of Drake being structured out. Jake Atlas said he would defend his honor. And so we have Jake Atlas taking on the Cruiserweight Champion, Santos Escobar. What do you think about the name Legados del Fantasma for the team?
I don't know.
Really?
I like it.
You were so sold on this a couple weeks ago.
I love this team.
I think Legado del Fantasma is a fucking great name. It's a pretty good name. It keeps the Fantasma like name alive while allowing him to be a completely different character.
That's true. I think this team has been money since.
So they had a fun match. Atlas made a late match comeback, but eventually Escobar hit the Phantom Driver and got the victory. I like that they're trying to make something with the Cruiserweight division. My number one question is, where the hell is Kushida? Kushida needs to be feuding with him right now.
Where is Kushida? I haven't seen Kushida in a while.
I don't know.
I mean, maybe that's what we're waiting for.
I hope they build to... I thought they were going to build to Maverick, Kushida, and Scott against these three, but... It's just weird that Kushida isn't involved in the storyline because everyone got kidnapped after they wrestled Kushida. Maybe that's just a coincidence. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe not, though.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to see where it goes. I'm definitely interested, though. I like this group a lot.
Me too. I think everything they've done has been great so far.
I like the name. I like the name a lot more than you do, apparently.
I like it. I just had to think about it for a minute.
But yeah, that was a good segment. I like that. Up next, Caden Carter and Casey Catanzaro versus Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez. Wasn't a complete squash, but definitely meant to establish Gonzalez and Dakota Kai. Raquel Gonzalez, I know they're getting the Shawn Michaels Diesel comparison a lot. Raquel Gonzalez had a Diesel like jackknife. It was awesome.
It looked great, too.
But Kai got the submission victory. This match was good. I like that they're establishing more women's tag team. Maybe now they're finally starting to take the women's tag team titles more serious. Sasha and Bayley have probably defended them more in the past month than anyone has since these titles were invented.
Yes, I agree.
I like that they're trying to establish these titles. It should have been done a year ago, but what are you going to do?
Better late than never.
Like I said, match wasn't anything special, but it accomplished its goal to get over Kai and Gonzalez even more. And it's been a pretty fun mini feud with Caden Carter and Casey Catanzaro. All four of these women are talented, so I enjoyed it. It wasn't anything special, but... Up next, Karrion Kross taking on Bronson Reed. Bronson Reed got on the attack quick. This was another Haas fight, much like the AEW one. Bronson Reed actually got in some offense, hit Kross with some shots, but Kross is eventually able to fight back. He got German suplexed and basically no-sold it. Hit a couple Doomsday Saitos before hitting him in the Kross jacket for the win. Once again, it's not match of the year or match of the night or match of the week, but it's getting Kross over, and, you know, it's a step up from Kross just dominating Leon Ruff every week.
Yeah, it is a step up. But Kross has been money, too.
Yeah. So I enjoyed this. Up next, God damn it, Aaliyah taking on Rhea Ripley. There's so many women on this roster.
One comment. Rhea Ripley's Cloverleaf, I don't know what she calls it.
She has some wacky name for it.
Yeah, I just don't know what it is right now. Might be my favorite move in all wrestling right now. It looks fucking great.
Yeah.
And Robert Stone throwing the shoe was awesome, but Aaliyah sucks.
Who throws a shoe?
Honestly.
Yeah, I'm not big on Aaliyah, but...
But I just think that we could move on unless Robert Stone takes her out of the darkness, which he did with Chelsea Green, so...
Chelsea Green's a great worker. There's a complete difference. Don't you dare.
Okay.
But, like, who did this match help?
No one.
Exactly.
Robert Stone.
Did it?
A little bit. I like him throwing a shoe. I also like the booking of him and Aaliyah versus Rhea Ripley next week.
That is interesting. Yeah, so there is a handicap match. If that doesn't scream Great American Bash, I don't know what does.
You know she's going to get a hand on him.
Robert Stone is the only American in the match, so. Rhea Ripley's from Australia. Aaliyah's Canadian, so.
He's going to be an American that's going to get bashed.
You know what? I guess he is. Up next, a segment that if you didn't like, you could go fuck yourself. Roderick Strong is back in therapy. The therapist finally convinces him to once again face his fear and go in the trunk. It was at this moment he notices that the therapist is none other than Kyle O'Reilly after failing to realize last week.
You kind of look like him with his way he has his hair.
That's not a compliment.
They're such geeks.
That's the gimmick. They are geeks who think they're the four coolest men on the planet, and it's great.
Them together is just money. I hope they never break up. Although I think I see that having to happen for Cole to reach the heights that he can.
I don't agree with that.
But they're such nerds. They're so fun.
So Roddy gets in the trunk. They pop the trunk. He gets out. They all celebrate. They're all having a great time. And then Adam Cole says, "You're finally getting over your fear when you face Dexter Lumis tonight." And then the mood changes. Roddy is distraught. So now we go to the match. Dexter Lumis taking on Roderick Strong. Roderick Strong comes out. He immediately tries to walk back through the curtain, but Bobby Fish does not let him. He reluctantly throws up the Undisputed Era sign and walks to the ring.
My favorite part of this entire match is when he finally gets out and at the eight count, gets back in the ring, gets right back out.
Oh, yeah, dude, and he powdered out like a motherfucker.
He goes, Fish is trying to get him to work, and he goes, "No, I don't want, I hate him," he goes.
I liked when he
Lumis stood still for forever.
I liked when he was walking to the ring and he just looks at Lumis and says, "Stop looking at me."
Oh man, Roddy's the MVP of this.
This is great. So yeah, it was basically 5 minutes of stalling. Lumis finally grew tired of Roddy stalling and chased after him. Roddy ran right into the plexiglass and then took the fuck off backstage. Bobby Fish, and then Lumis, the best part was Lumis did his crawl back in the ring to, like, accept the countout. It was the fucking greatest.
He's the man.
And then Bobby Fish begs Roddy to come back, but Bobby Fish instead gets put in his little arm triangle choke. And, yeah.
We have a strap match next week.
Yeah, that was money. That was, Lumis is, like, oh, he's the most interesting man in, like, wrestling right
he's
now.
He's amazing.
He's, I love Lumis.
Me too.
So now, main event time. Keith Lee, Finn Balor, Johnny Gargano. Winner is the North American champion and goes on to face Adam Cole in 2 weeks at night two of the Great American Bash.
Assuming the match will go on around 9:40.
The only Great American Bash too big for one night. So this match was good. I think this would have been worthy on a takeover. That's how much I enjoyed this match. Don't know if I enjoyed it as much as FTR and SCU. It was close. I like both matches.
That's a fair statement.
Keith Lee did his famous pop up out of nowhere spot that he seemed to do in all the big matches now. There was a point where he had both Gargano and Balor in his arms, and the looks on both of their faces was great. Heel Johnny is the best human being on earth.
Yeah, he's fantastic. I liked him hitting Keith Lee's leg like it was a ring post.
Yes.
That was outstanding.
That was great. But the finish came when Balor hit the foot stomp on Gargano, but then Keith Lee picked up Balor and hit him with the Big Bang Catastrophe, got the win.
It looked fucking great.
And then in 2 weeks, it is Adam Cole versus Keith Lee. If you want to hear how both of us think that match will go back and listen to last week's episode, because we both have I don't think it's like some super insider theory. I think it's kind of what everyone assumes is going to happen.
Yes.
I can't see them giving us a clean finish in 2 weeks. Maybe they will. Maybe Adam Cole will just have every belt on earth. I don't know.
Maybe, possibly.
But I think we're going to get the finish I talked about last week.
Bayley two belts and Bebe two belts.
And we could have Sasha two belts soon, too.
We could.
That's Bayley Doe Straps. She doesn't want to be called Bayley two belts.
I like Bayley Doe Straps.
She's Hispanic.
She's my COVID MVP.
She's just my MVP in general. She's been excellent this year.
She really got a hold on that character.
Yeah, it's great.
Her fighting with Cole is just outstanding.
Everything about her now as a heel is great.
Yes.
But yeah, time to pick your show that you thought was better, your MVPs, so get after it.
FTR is my MVP for AEW because they just proved that with rules and proper tag matches, although there's one thing I didn't like, they cut to a camera angle of Cash waiting for a spot.
There was some sloppiness in that match, yeah, for sure.
But I just think it was more camera angle because he has to wait there for a spot, but they shot him waiting for the spot. An accident, but an otherwise perfect match. Shows you what tag matches, what rules, and actually good wrestlers can do.
You know what FTR stands for? Follow the rules.
For the revolution.
Fuck the rest.
Fuck the refs.
No, they like the refs. That's the other tag team.
Fuck the Red Rooster. But I think my NXT MVP is Dexter Lumis for the fourth week in a row. He's just outstanding. And my overall MVP is... Rhea Ripley.
Wow, you really like that fucking clover leaf.
I love that clover leaf.
Nobody can get MVP working with Aaliyah.
That's fair.
So my AEW MVP is Orange Cassidy. I am so intrigued in this Jericho Cassidy match. I love this like more intense side of Orange Cassidy. I think this was needed. Like, I love the Orange Cassidy does the kicks and the you know, the hands in the pockets. But I like that they're showing, like, if you piss him off and you draw blood, he will leave the silly shit aside and beat your ass. I think that's a nice, like, level of character development that was needed for Orange Cassidy. And I think he's doing a great job showing intensity. So, Orange Cassidy's my AEW MVP. My NXT MVP, you went Loomis, so I'll go the other half of that feud, Roderick Strong. I love Paranoid Roddy. I'm pretty sure he was my MVP last week, too. And then my overall MVP is going to be the three guys in the main event, because that now that I review it, I think I did like that match a little more than the FTR match. So I guess that means I got to go with NXT as the show, even though there was an Aaliyah match.
That's fair. NXT was a better show.
Aaliyah is what lost it last week for
top to bottom.
If Aaliyah wasn't on the show, I would have picked NXT last week, too. But Aaliyah, get her off my TV. And it seems like she's not getting off my TV anytime soon.
That's fair.
All right, so coming up next, we will announce the winners of the second annual Mean Guy Classic. And then, of course, we will talk to Taker after that. And now, the finals of the Mean Guy Classic 2. Bigger, badder, meaner.
It's been a long ride.
Yeah. Might even say it's been a last ride.
Maybe. But we are here to announce the winners. Now, remember, the final four was Andre the Giant versus Undertaker, which Undertaker took the Legends bracket. And the current wrestlers were Kevin Owens versus Walter last year's finals. And Owens, of course, took that. Because people love Kevin Owens. And as we do we. But call it timing, call it better, call it popularity. But by a score of 67% to 33%.
Oh, you have a real drum roll?
The Undertaker raises his hand as he leaves out the meanest guy ever.
Yeah, I think we predicted this would be the finals at the beginning, but we both thought no one would stop the KO show, but the KO show was stopped. It took a documentary and a retirement to stop him, but...
Three retirements in the documentary.
But, yeah, congratulations to The Undertaker. Yet another accolade to add to your career, undoubtedly the most important one.
Yes, no doubt about it.
Screw winning the WWE title WrestleMania. Screw having the greatest WrestleMania match of all time. You won...
Screw being the greatest superstar in history of promotion.
You won the second annual Mean Guy Classic. And I bet you if you were in the first, you probably would have won that too.
Congratulations, Mark. So, without skipping... Are we doing one next year?
I'd assume so.
Oh, absolutely we are.
Yeah.
With the Mean Guy ref. And the Mean Guy commentary team.
Yes.
Of Samoa Joe and Taz.
And Gorilla Monsoon. Stop trying to leave out Gorilla.
I don't want to leave out Gorilla. But...
Who is running Gorilla? Is it Bruce? Bruce is a Husky guy.
Who's running Gorilla? Michael Hayes.
Michael Hayes is my second choice.
He's fat now, too. But, we'll see what President Jack Tunney wants to do.
So the Mean Guy Classic is not a Bruce Prichard joint?
No.
Shame.
It isn't.
Seems like everything else is these days.
Although Big Ninja might be in it next year.
Big Ninja has to be in it. I don't even care. Big Ninja might be a one seed. I don't even care. Love the Big Ninja.
Well, that transfers us into our main event.
Yeah, we're here to talk to Taker.
It is now reported in the last ride that he's done.
Yep.
What did you think of the last ride? And what did you find most interesting part about it?
I liked how open he was about everything. Like, he talked...
Yeah, of how ruined wrestling is, quote-unquote ruined. You never saw that side of him.
Yeah, he's a guy that... truly loves the business. Just like seeing the video of that hip replacement he got just to keep wrestling was wild.
He's probably the greatest character in the history of the business.
Knowing how much the Roman match and the Saudi match bothered him, seeing how much it not being on Mania in New York killed him, ate him up inside. I think just like you never saw Mark Calloway before. That's the first time you saw Mark Calloway, and just the whole thing was intriguing, and. It was such a good watch. WWE always does a fantastic job with those documentaries.
And it was just so interesting. I think the coolest part of the whole thing was watching him work with the big guys in NXT.
Yeah.
Like, imagine going to wrestling school and the fucking Undertaker is coming in and work with you.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Big Nation was there.
He was. The whole thing was just an excellent showcase. And I mean, it couldn't be. There's no one more deserving of that showcase than The Undertaker.
Yeah. So what was your favorite episode?
5. The last one.
That's hard to dispute.
Because it covered Extreme Rules, where we both were there and said he looked great. And he was satisfied.
Well, that was more the end of 4.
And the beginning of 5.
Yeah, but 4, yeah. 4 was really more Extreme Rules.
It showed him a little more outside. It showed his daughter. Showed him fishing. And it just showed him the life he worked to live.
The fact he filmed the Boneyard match the day after his brother was
buried. That's awful.
It's crazy.
That was just... And you know what? Do you believe he's done?
I believe he wants to be done. I think...
He said Kobe's death, which was just tragic and was the start of all this fucking mess we're in now.
Shook everything. Shook everyone.
A lot of people had that feeling. Like, you don't know what you got. So...
Yeah, like, who thought Kobe Bryant would die? Yeah. Like, obviously, we know everybody dies eventually, but, like, shout out Lance Archer. But, like, who would have thought he would die like that in 2020? Like, it's just, it was mind-blowing. I remember the day it happened, like, it was only...
The Royal Rumble. January 26th.
It was only 6 months ago, but I remember it vividly, like, it was this morning.
Yeah, I was actually watching some stuff on it yesterday. But I just think he lived his life as a wrestler, and now he's done.
Yeah, I 100% believe he wants to be done.
I don't think he's searching for it anymore.
No, I agree with that 100%. But just knowing Vince McMahon, I just feel like Vince is going to give him that call. And it's just not not in his blood to say no.
I know too, but I think if anybody, Vince would respect their decision, it's him.
Oh, if Vince calls him and Taker says no, I don't think Vince will put up a fight. But I also don't think Vince will be afraid to make the call.
That's true.
He called Shawn Michaels and got Shawn to do it. You know what I mean? Like, Vince isn't afraid to make the call.
That's true. I just think...
I truly believe that Mark Calaway, the human being, wants to be done, though. I believe that 100%. Do I think he'll wrestle again? Honestly, I do.
I don't.
I hope he doesn't.
I think he's done.
I hope he doesn't, because the Boneyard match was the perfect way to go.
And the match before that was Extreme Rules, so he had his farewell song there. Was it? No, there was no Saudi. He didn't work Saudi. Oh, yes, he did. Did he?
I mean, he was technically in a match, yeah, but
it wasn't. He didn't even take his fucking hat off. So
he choked on AJ Styles and left and took the Trek Mountain trophy with him.
The beautiful trophy, which AJ Styles really wants.
Yes.
But I just think that I'm happy he's done. He owes us nothing. There's nothing more he can do.
And selfishly, I hope he never appears again, because we would have been in his last appearance in front of people.
Yeah.
Elimination Chamber.
Yeah. But that being said, I'm not that selfish, and he deserves a really proper farewell.
But does he want it, though?
No, if he wants it. But
I'm sure he'll get a Hall of Fame induction. I'm sure that'll be about it. Yeah.
But
I'm sure that'll be great.
I just think, similar to what they did for Flair, is deserving of
it. Well, I think it's going to be... How do you do that, though? Because, like, by the time we get crowds back, you know what I mean? Like, it... I don't want to say it's old news, but it's old news. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
No, yeah, I get it.
But... Like, it'd be like if they had Ric Flair's retirement ceremony 8 months after he retired. It's just... It's weird. Like, maybe have, like, an Undertaker appreciation night in Dallas or something.
Yeah. But... Do something like that. Have him show up. Wave. Get the boys out there to pay their respects, because he probably is the most respected man
ever. I mean, that's probably what his Hall of Fame induction will be.
Yeah.
You know, he'll give a speech, everyone will clap. And
so, just a couple questions for you.
Oh, boy.
What's his legacy? Where does he, quote-unquote, rank? And what's your... Give me a couple Undertaker matches or moments that you enjoy the most.
So, his legacy is probably the greatest character of all time and the heart of the WWE. I mean, he was always there. He never left. If there was an issue, you went to Taker. He was the judge at Wrestler's Court. Like, he was the guy. He was the business. He was the godfather. He was Don Corleone.
He was the core of this country. Or of the
company. Oh, Jesus. Yeah. But what was the second question?
Just favorite moments.
That was the third question. There was a second question. Where does he rank? That's a real tough question, because, like, it depends what your criteria is. Like, If we're just talking strictly in-ring ability, I don't even think he's mentioned.
The whole package.
If we're talking character, he's probably one of the first names mentioned. Whole package, he's probably... I'd put him probably in the 10 to 20 range somewhere in there.
Yeah.
I don't think he's on a Mount Rushmore.
I think he's in a class all by himself.
Yeah, it's like
he's in his own category. There's no one comparable.
Like, his dedication to that character is unmatched. Like, nobody protected the business and the character the way he did. And it's tough to rank him, like, because, I don't know, he kind of is his own category. Like, I don't think of him, like, when I don't know, it's tough.
I just think there's nothing comparable to him. No one's ever did what he did for so long. And, I mean, he lost it in his few years, but, like, up until a few years ago, he was still a very good wrestler.
See, but I don't think he became, the crazy thing is, I don't think he became a good wrestler until, like, 2008.
I'd say 2005. Return of the Dead Man.
Well, that was 2004, but yeah. He had some stinkers after that.
Yeah, he did, but it takes two. But I just think in his legacy will be the greatest of all time, but not on that list.
Yeah, no, I guess that's kind of what I'd say.
He's, like, when it comes to the wrestler, he's, like, he's the guy. The guy. The most respected man in the business. And
he's probably the most iconic figure in wrestling history. Like, everybody knows The Undertaker.
When that gong hits, man. Think about it. I was asleep at the Raw after WrestleMania.
You are.
That gong hit and I was on my feet.
Yeah, that is facts. I can't attest to that.
I just think, I don't know. It's just, it's somewhat sad seeing him go, because that's our whole life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's been there a whole fucking life.
I'm sure he'll still be around.
And I hope he is. And I hope he works with big men teaching them how to wrestle. Because big men wrestling is kind of lost nowadays.
As for matches, the first one that jumps out to me is the first Hell in a Cell against Shawn. I know everyone likes to talk about the Mankind Hell in a Cell because of the spectacle of Foley going off the cage and then through the cage. But I think the Shawn Hell in a Cell was probably the greatest Hell in a Cell of all time. I'd argue that one.
Yeah.
I'm a big Shawn Marks. Of course, I'm going to say both Shawn and Taker matches at Mania. There's so many good Undertaker matches.
Randy Orton? Randy Orton come to mind at Mania? I really like
that. It's a good match. Obviously the Boneyard match, just for what it was.
Anything with Kane?
See, I think with Kane, the matches were never really good. It's just it's the story. You know what I mean? It's the best storyline in history.
Quote unquote, is that the best storyline in wrestling history?
Yeah.
The best angle is Kane and Undertaker. Mm-hmm. Easily, right?
Yeah, but the matches are all stinkers.
Yeah, that's fair too. Two big guys didn't really work together, but as a tag team they worked.
Yeah. Brothers of Destruction versus Triple H and Austin at Backlash 01. I like that one. Let's see. The Randy Orton Hell in a Cell at Armageddon 05 with Bob Orton's hepatitis. That was a big deal back then. That was bad. I don't know how they got away with that one.
Forgot about that.
Kurt Angle and Taker, No Way Out 2006. That's a classic.
Taker came out on the fucking horse.
That was at Royal Rumble to set it up.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
But at No Way Out, they actually had a match, and it was phenomenal. Let's see.
The streak?
But yeah, I think that goes without saying. Like, from WrestleMania's 25 to 29, he had four classics in a row. Five classics in a row. Two with Shawn, two with Hunter, one with Punk. Like, that stretch of five matches was fantastic. I'm trying to think of, like, more not obvious ones. The Brock Hell in a Cell, No Mercy 2002.
He made SmackDown. SmackDown was his.
The Royal Rumble 2007, the end with him and Shawn.
Oh, my God.
That's probably the best finish to a Royal Rumble ever.
From the moment where Kali spiked Shawn.
They went, like, 10 minutes, just those two at the end. It was great.
Yeah, it was. It was really good shit.
Sit-up,
kick-up combo.
Yeah. He's had a lot of stinkers, too. Obviously, Giant Gonzalez, King Kong Bundy. The casket match against Heidenreich.
And Jake.
So. But that's the thing. Vince trusted him to work with anybody. Like, Vince would stick him in there with anybody.
Yeah, I'm just... If it is it, Mark, thank you.
Just thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for all you've done for this business, for the business we love so much. There's never one like you before. There'll never be one again. So, is he the greatest WWE superstar of all time?
I think so.
Probably, right?
I think so. If we're using the terms WWE superstar, yes. If we're using the term professional wrestler, no.
That's very fair.
But I think if we're using the terms WWE...
I still think Flair's the best professional wrestler.
If we're using the terms WWE superstar, he has to be. Because he defines what the WWE is all about, entertainment.
Character, and he was younger, that fucker couldn't go.
Just think about all the fucking wacky Undertaker segments he had throughout the years.
Teddy Long?
Where to? Buckle up, Teddy! And where to, Stephanie?
Yeah.
When he set the fucking teddy bear on fire. Just so many wacky Undertaker.
Jeff Hardy?
Crucifying Austin. That's another match that the Hardy Taker ladder match Raw 2002.
Make yourself famous!
Now that we know the context of it, I like to go back and watch the Ric Flair match at WrestleMania, knowing how unconfident Rick was and how Taker rebuilt his confidence. I think going back watching that match, it's very enjoyable.
I haven't watched that in a while. I might watch that before I go to bed tonight.
Yeah, especially like knowing what's going...
22?
18.
18.
22 is him and Henry in a casket match. Don't watch that one.
No. We saw a very big moment of his.
Yeah?
And Mark Henry went off the cage.
That's true, yeah.
And he was, I believe he was in that match against
Batista. I think it was Eminem versus Batista and Ray.
You're right. That's what it was. But Taker showed up later to get Mark.
Something like that.
Yeah. But he was there. Because I remember seeing him. Just SmackDown. I don't know.
Yeah, he's probably the face of SmackDown. Like, when I think SmackDown, the first guy that comes to mind is Undertaker. Like,
you also face the Undertaker tonight.
Undertaker's a huge part of Teddy Long's legacy. How many times have you heard go one-on-one with the Undertaker? I mean... Yeah, he's like, I think that's the best way to put it. He's probably the greatest WWE superstar of all time.
Yeah, easily. But thank you, Mark. I don't want to ruin your legacy by talking about you anymore. So thank you for listening to our show. Coming up next, Tony will give you some plugs.
Or Michael do it.
Or Tony will do it.
Or Michael do it.
Or Michael do it.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to today's show at Champions Pod on Twitter. We'll be back on Tuesdays starting next week, July 7th. On Mondays, you got Top of the Rope Wrestling Radio with Gil, our friend, at Kuda_Junior. Wednesdays, the Bearded Wrestling Pod at Bearded Chris P on Twitter. Follow at Ron_Musto_Junior and at LindsBeHonestX. And follow the whole network at TT_4U.
So we will see you in a little over a week's time, like he said, Tuesday the 7th. Then it's back on Tuesdays from now on. So enjoy. Thanks for listening.